Warning, this episode contains explicit content. Please proceed with caution. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Whiskey Sex Talk. I am your host, Romeo. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about False Allegations Support Organization. And here to tell us more about the organization is board member Sean Parker. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hi, Romeo. Thanks for having me on. Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming on the show. So listen, let's get started here. Can you tell us a little bit more about False Allegation Support Organization?
Yeah, sure. The False Allegation Support Organization, or FASO, as they're called, were started about 20 years ago here in Britain by Margaret Gardiner, is the CEO, still is now, who went through the fire with her husband. Then, when there were all kinds of issues with the Welsh sort of police force from North Wales and South Wales about abuse that was claimed in care homes back then, and the collusion that would go on between these police forces and the media to a certain extent, which would then imprison guys, men, often people who were teachers and carers. And this happened to Margaret as well. She became an expert in it and sort of formed FASO in order to help people who were going through the same situation.
So in other words, you guys actually help individuals who have been falsely accused for, I'm assuming, sexual assault, correct?
It's essentially that, yes. And there's such a growing industry of this, and has been since then, that FASO keep their eye on what's been happening. They help people in the trial process, the investigation. When sort of people are confused, when they claim to have been falsely accused and then are found guilty, and or the ones that haven't, their lives are still sort of over because of allegation. And there's not a lot of people who are out there to pick up the pieces from this stuff, but FASO very much is.
Thank you for that explanation. You know, I feel like we're seeing a lot of these false allegations, or at least they're coming into light, especially now. You know, apps around kind of, I feel like it's been. It has grown ever since the Me Too movement. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not saying that all cases are false allegations, but there are. We're seeing that specifically high profile cases. We see where individuals are actually. We end up finding out that such individual was not really. It was a false allegation. And those are just high-profile cases. I could only imagine that this happens on a smaller scale, but it does happen. I do feel that the one thing, now this is just my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying this, that the one thing that I do find very, very difficult when it comes to sexual assault allegations, and why am I saying allegations? Because I'm just speaking in the terms of what I find flawed in this, is that it really relies a lot on the he or she, say. There's not a lot of concrete evidence. There is concrete evidence on those cases where, let's say, it's a child sexually that's been sexually abused, because then you can take the child to a hospital and there's a forensics done to it. But a lot of it, you know, particularly the cases where an individual has made an accusation or an allegation towards another person, and it's years later, 20 years pass by. Now, for whatever reason, the individual decided not to say anything at the time, I feel it does make sense. I understand that certain people didn't want to go through it because of how the victims are treated in court. But there is that issue where, let's say, something happened to me 20 years ago and I move forward now to accuse the person that did something to me. There's a lot of gray area. Particularly with like memory and recollection and what really transpired, with so much time has passed that I am faced with a different challenge, me being like, let's say the one that's the victim. But this is what I find a little bit scary, that there are cases out there where people have been falsely accused, and we're seeing that. And, you know, another issue that I have also too with all this, these high profile cases, is that what really is, you know, it makes me question the intention of the individual, because, you know, fame comes from it, wealth comes, there's a lot of other factors that come into play with high profile individuals and the people that are coming forward.
Absolutely. You've completely covered almost all of the problems there, particularly when it comes to false memories. If it's a false memory or if it isn't, the British False Memory Society, helmed by Kevin Felsted, have been doing brilliant work in this for 20 or so years. You can construct the memory as you grow. And so what ends up happening is an exaggeration of a situation. Mm-hmm. If you dislike a person in the family or outside the family, you then the more that's worked on by other people, that person can become a demon when that wasn't what originally happened in the first place. And then what they're increasingly seeing too is that counselors and teachers who've gone through trauma training will then basically elicit allegations out to people, will then go straight to the police. And there's an industry which is formed around this, which again, FASO have to pick up the pieces of afterwards. And you're completely right about the high profile and the low profile. Usually there's a sea of people who are just ordinary guys going back, usually guys going back to their lives afterwards, whilst the high profile have their careers destroyed, of course, and they have a different kind of sympathy. But what that is, the high point of that is the people underneath, which is the ones that we really look after.
I do believe there are cases out there where people have been falsely accused. That is a fact. I do believe that. Now, I'm not trying to, I don't want people to assume that, oh my God, there are a lot of victims. How can you say that? No, there are cases. And those cases where the individual, in this case, the perpetrator, turns out that it was, the individual is falsely accused, I noticed that a lot of these evidence is these testimonials of individuals that had nothing to do with the event, especially for cases that happened 20 years ago or 5 years ago. You know, I understand that memory can, you know, your memories can really change. Now, there are people that really, let's say the people that have been really sexually assaulted, for sure those people have trauma, and for sure those people that have gone through that, there is this thing that, like, they're scared and they don't know what to do, or, you know, they're in that state of shock. I believe that. That I know, that people can black out and that happens and memory comes later. But the cases that I'm seeing is like, well, this happened 25 years ago, 30 years ago, and I remember, well, you know, it's like, how do you know that your memory? Because as time moves forward, you know, like you said, you may dislike that individual and things change and you might add on to it. But that's one of the things that I do not really like, is the fact how these testimonials or these experts are all going based on what the individual said. And that serves as evidence. Which is in forensic science is like totally, you need like hard concrete evidence, you know.
That's absolutely it. I mean, if you turn the forensics into a archaeology experiment for psychologists, which is essentially what this is, then you have a completely gray kind of area in which to dig from, and stuff. Of course, there's a lot of things where in the past things did happen. And the guideline is to punish the guy, the convicted, according to the law of the day, because they weren't enforced in the past. A lot of that has been done, and there's a lot of that was false, which we clean up afterwards. But the industry is going on as the scope of what is abuse, inverted commas, expands and expands and expands. And that's why we end up with cases like Kevin Spacey out there, which is like an historical thing. And it was a young man who happened to be another actor who had got someone in his ear.
Right.
And in two courts in England and the UK, it didn't meet the bar of sexual assault. And Kevin Spacey is, of course, a Hollywood star, but his experience there represents many, many, many others without able access to his kind of lawyers.
Right.
And the reality of this is all money, unfortunately, of course. Underneath it is destroyed families, and that's our interest.
And you know, and that's what I have. That's that. Thank you for giving us an example, because that there's a particular challenge, for investigating and prosecuting like reported sexual offenses, and that is the absence of forensics, like incriminating evidence. That is the problem, and I'm not talking about for like stuff that happened recent, like let's say it happened a week or a month. I'm talking about like stuff that people say, oh, this happened decades ago, and they're now coming forward. You know, because then, like I said before, there's no physical evidence if the sexual offense involved is a violence. You know, it's just, it's very, very hard. And this is the thing that people always fail to kind of, especially now, everything's so heightened when it comes to all this stuff we see in the media. People are so easily triggered and they're emotional, and they're not, we're not approaching this from a very, very, and when I'm saying the people who feel for the victim. I feel for victims all the time, of course, but sometimes as spectators, what ends up happening is our feelings dictate how we perceive things. We forget that there's logic. There's a whole thing behind it. And specifically, you know, people forget the damage, the collateral damage that happens to the person that has been perceived as the perpetrator. I mean, we're talking about people have to register as sex offenders. They have to, you know, can't live in certain areas, they can't work anymore, they lose their job, their whole network. Like, these are the individuals, and I'm talking about the individuals that have been falsely accused. This is what's destroyed. And to recover from that is just, I could only imagine how hard it could be, or how hard it is to recover from that. I mean, I would be scared if I was one of these individuals where I was falsely accused and my whole world got turned upside down, I mean, pretty much destroyed. I don't even know where I would begin to rebuild, because a lot of people believe, specifically like if it's there's media coverage, they'll believe what the media says. And, you know, we have these perceptions because it's been more, the media has actually given us this perception, you know, this individual's this way. And you see that, you know, right? You meet like I'm just giving an example. You meet someone that has had negative press and you're like, oh, I hate that guy. You don't even know anything about the person. I'm saying guy here just to show an example. But so your organization provides support. What type of support are like the most important ones in the process that you feel? Because I've been on the website, and there's quite a lot of different types of support, but for the purpose of the show, the main support that the organization you're part of provides, what is that?
Well, historically, it was the helpline, and it is still like a telephone, because a lot of the people who get in touch are older, because of the nature of what's happening in that law. They tend to pick up a phone, so they get through to the helpers that we have on that helpline. Since Me Too, since the last 10 years, online has of course exploded, and so lots of the complaints and the issues come through by email and by chat. So on the social media, we have to pick that up as well, and to also fight the culture war that you hinted about. In that there's misinformation, there's an absolute firestorm of things going on with false allegations. I mean, when you use the term victim, with the victimology that it's become, if there's a false allegation, it's the accused that's the victim. It's just that is never, ever reported or talked about.
Right.
So we almost have to always repeat that to the media. And every person, when you say that, goes, yes, of course. But no one ever thinks that. They always think about the person that's been on the other end of some kind of abuse. Well, if it's an allegation with no grounds, then that's the accused, isn't it? So it's a very difficult part to get the narrative to be actually open-minded is an enormous challenge. And it usually helps to have people who've gone through it or something like it to be able to help those on the other side. When it comes to stats, Romeo, 20 million Americans have been falsely accused of something serious, like stalking, sexual assault, or domestic violence. 20 million is quite a number. It's just you don't really hear that reported very much because everyone's so scared and shy, they scurry off.
I think, you know, the issue, not the issue, but I think one of the things that I feel, especially, you know, we've all seen what the Me Too has done, or, you know, I get it, empowering women, women who really were, you know, really victims of sexual assault. But then you get like all this other junk that all this other stuff that are, you know, I think I remember that he did this and that. And it's like, when I think, when I look at this stuff, especially when it comes up in the media and it's like, there's clearly a bias, and I'm just saying for the questionable ones, I'm not, you know, cause you really have to really question everything, but here's what I want to know. In these cases where they're like your organization, you guys help the individuals kind of post all of this, right?
At the start and at the end and in the middle.
So for cases that, let's say it's been cleared and it's been, I don't know if it's been proven. Let me ask you that. Are there cases that your organization has already have evidence like, okay, this was a false allegation. Like it's been proven. The individual has been cleared. What happens then? Because if that's the case, like if I was in those in that situation, I would do a counter lawsuit. I would try to sue for the for what they did to me.
Yeah. It's an incredibly slow process. It's the law, so everything takes the letters and the laziness of the lawyers and everything else. So you get sort of sucked into that. So there can be the false allegation where the police don't do anything, and that's 98% of kind of allegations of sexual assault. So there's already a huge amount of things which are either spurious or false to the point of 98. Then there's the 2% that do go through, but there's also huge issues attached to those in terms of the false memories and the not guilties and all the rest of that. So help people who have been charged, who are going through that difficult situation. Then there's the people that are in prison because it's gone wrong. So, and those people have started to kind of contact us. Usually their wives are contacting. These couples usually actually do stick together, believe it or not. Old school people who have different value systems, right, and are just, they kind of stick with their accused husband. Very interesting. People never realize that. They stick with them all the way through. The mothers and the wives themselves get furious. They become activists in their own way. And that is the push towards the end of Me Too, because loads and loads of people's mothers and wives and girlfriends.
And daughters, I want to say, probably.
And daughters, absolutely. They are coming through to be more compulsive than the males, because no one really listens to males in culture, let's face it, but they do listen to women. And that's another side of the feminists, the political feminists, don't get me wrong, don't know what to do with those people. They're like, why don't you just leave him? Because we didn't do it. So yet they have that kind of an argument going on, you see. So the culture wars get into a nasty snarl there. And when as many people are being falsely accused or accused in general as they are now, eventually there's a normalization going on. And that is a big risk to anybody who are trying to push this kind of stuff. And that's what's happening right now. To Johnny Depp, these high cases are starting to lead the way for that. And you're quite right. If they have been actually sexually assaulted in a serious way, in a very, you know, proper rape situation, those people get even more angry with the false and spurious accusers, because it just degrades their experience.
You know, when it comes to people in power, positions, fame, wealth, whatever, you're going to have a lot of people coming forward saying all this stuff. Maybe those, some of them are true, some of them are not. But it's no different than you being rich and people using you for your money, or you being famous and you having fake friends. You're a powerful person. People are going to want something. This is why I'm fascinated with like these like high profile cases, because when you start seeing like the trials or you start seeing individuals, you're like, well, I don't, you know, you really start questioning like what's the whole purpose, because an average person especially if you've gone through stuff, I don't think they can handle the whole media aspect of it. Like if you really, really went through, this is just me. Like if I really went through, I was sexually assaulted and it was somebody that was famous or whatever, I would feel two things. I would feel scared to go forward because I don't know the power or the length of the individual. But then also I wouldn't want to be like in the media in that sense because it's already a humiliating issue for me, as I'm just giving an example, that I don't think I can bear that because I'm dealing with my own trauma. So when these people come forward, I get it. There's people that do come forward and they're very brave and, you know, kol hakavod, like we say in Hebrew, good job for coming forward. But the ones that are questionable that you do see that it's kind of like, oh my God, this is like a freaking circus. It's like, what's the whole point of this? Like, it's almost a mockery of the system, judicial system, you know, or like the court system, that I feel that we're feeding into this whole like circus of this, that the ones that are getting screwed over is like your average Joe. It, you know, all of this reminds me of something. There is a, in the Torah, there's a story of Joseph. And, you know, Joseph, the king of dreams, there's a story that I always go back to, especially with this whole thing, but this is like a cautionary tale. And the story is about, you know, Pharaoh's wife accuses Joseph of sleeping with him, right? And it's not true. We know it's not true because he was very moral. He was very, but she says this. And there was no one else around there was no witnesses. They just took her word because she was the wife of Pharaoh and she was a powerful woman and Pharaoh's going to believe his wife. And he gets accused and sent to prison. What's the moral of the story here? At least in Judaism, is that a man and a woman should not be alone in a room, regardless. If she's married, if she's not married, we should not be alone in a room. And if we are alone in a room, you need to have the door open because of this cautionary tale and because of so many things that can arise. I'm just saying in general. We're seeing this. People don't feel comfortable anymore, or we're becoming distrusting, but at the same time...
That's a real pity, don't you think? Don't you think it's a real pity
is.
That people are being like this?
It is, but you know what? I mean, think about this story of Joseph and Pharaoh's wife, like Pharaoh's wife. Like
It's thousands of years old.
It's thousands of years old, but what is it telling guys? Like, it's telling us something. It's telling us everybody that don't put yourself in that position. Like,
it can be two guys as well.
Look, the moral of the story is that we have to understand, first of all, Joseph resisted Pharaoh's wife's advances, and she falsely accuses him of wrongdoing. Then he's thrown into prison, where he actually continues to show integrity and faithfulness, and that's amazing in itself. But the story provides an excellent opportunity for us as humans to understand, first of all, the importance of integrity, resisting temptation, but really, how does that apply to us now in this world? There's a reason why the Torah is saying that a man and a woman should not be left in a room because a lot of things can arise and there are no witnesses. Whether you like to see that as a sad thing or not, there is a reason why. There is a reason why if you are in a room with let's say you're a straight man and it's a woman or whatever, just a man and a woman, you need to leave the door open. Now, let's go in the direction of two gay people. Same thing. Two lesbians. Same thing. You can be accused of X, Y, and Z. The point is we should not be putting ourselves in spaces where we do not know individuals' true intentions. And as much as we like to think we know people, we are living in crazy times. Look what's happening all over the media. You're seeing all these false allegations. Let this story be a cautionary tale. Someone pisses me off. Oh, I'm now enraged. I have to get my vengeance. I gotta have it one way or the other. And of course, I'm generalizing.
It's very unhealthy.
It's very unhealthy. But you know, this is how we're operating. I'm seeing more people operating this, and I'm glad that your organization is there for real people who have been victims, who have been falsely accused, because because it can destroy a whole life, especially if you're young. And let's say you're a 20-year-old, which we've seen, right, on college campuses. There's been cases where they've been falsely accused athletes, but there are athletes that have done stuff, and we know that. But for the ones that haven't, you know, you're destroying a whole life. You know, a whole life.
That's right, and sort of perhaps, you know, a thing did happen, but it wasn't that. And that's the problem, because lots of stuff happens between kids, between youth, you know.
Yeah.
And but what they've started to do, because of Title IX sort of guidelines, is to weaponize every single one of these, if that's the degree of the vulnerability or the mental health of the woman involved, usually the woman. And there's been some stats now from whoever it was yesterday, Mr. Jonathan Haidt. 56% of young American females, white females, have a mental health disorder, diagnosed mental health disorder, 56%. So it's like, with that kind of thing going on, and then that's kind of divorcing the policy, where do you go with that kind of thing? You know, you're just hoping that the person you meet isn't going to be mentally ill. It's not a way to have any kind of a relationship, even as a friendship, you know?
You know, people are, I'm sorry to say this, but people are really crazy. Like, people are crazy nowadays. I mean, like, you don't have, look at the news right now, what's happening. I'm going to say it, what's happening with Israel and the whole conflict with Hamas. People are actually endorsing terrorism. What is that? Where is our moral compass? Where is our dignity? Situation. Where is humanity? I mean, people have shits for brains, you know, and it's sad.
Saifullah Khan, who's an American guy who was going to get into Yale a couple of years ago, a handful of years ago now, and he's just been awarded, I think, $100 million for false allegation against him at Yale, which wasn't investigated properly by the Title IX board. They've admitted, well, he's won the case, which is the first time this has ever happened. So he's almost turned the tide on the Title IX sort of cancer of false allegations going on there. So fantastic news for him. All of your listeners should have a look at Saifullah Khan. If these allegations still happen, they're happening all the time, because they've been industrialized in my country, in Britain, under Operation Soteria.
A lot of Western countries, I feel like it's being industrialized because it's a money-making business.
Yes, exactly. If it's happening, the best advice we've got these days is to, as we hinted at earlier, it's the normalization. Don't personalize it. Don't think it's you being attacked personally for being a terrible person. The conversation's gone away from that. It's understood that there are multiple issues going on. It could be the money, it could be her state of mind, it could have been him being bad, and that should be sorted out too. But the fact is that everyone is now aware that there's lots of sources of these allegations. So to not take it too personally, to understand that it could be political, is a very useful thing for lots of guys, particularly, to get their heads around, because guys don't always respond in an emotional way. They want to try and understand, and that's a good way of understanding it.
So, Sean, I know you said that your organization is there from beginning, middle, and end. What does that mean?
We are there when it comes to the helpline. So when it comes to having people on the end of a phone, they can call and talk the person through whatever they can expect next. And also in the social media context, if they start to think that there isn't anyone on their side, if they come to the FASO, to Twitter, X, or to other things online, and the Facebook, they can see how there are other people who've gone through it, who are there to support them, to help, to understand the cultural situation of what's going on. And we can also there to write letters to people in prison when it's gone that far as well. So, and we can put people in touch with good solicitors who are kind of proven to be effective and interested in this sort of part of the law. There's not many of them, but we know them. So,
and now, do you guys provide legal advice? Like, do you guys provide lawyers for people that, let's say, if they've been falsely accused, they need a lawyer, they're freaking out, like they just need that kind of like, I need a lawyer right now, because I'm assuming this is a specific arena. You know, you need a specific type of lawyer that knows this area.
Yeah, there's a handful of people we can put them in touch with, but we're not solicitors ourselves. You know, we are kind of academics on my part, and then actual people who've been through it when it comes to the helplines. So we are much more in the support and advice thing, but we can put people in touch with lawyers who have done this before and that are trusted, as I say. They have to get in touch to find them out.
Does that also include like mental health?
Well, the actual kind of process of talking to people on it is a sort of therapy in itself. Kind of quite a lot of the false allegations have come from therapy in the first place. So it's already a kind of problematic area for that. But when it comes to helping the falsely accused, we are there and sort of patiently listen to whatever the problems are. Almost all of us have the counselling training. And if we don't, we put, if the person needs that, if they're the kind of person who just wants to communicate in that way because they do start to feel better after expressing, we know how to handle that. I've got the Samaritan's training, and everybody else in the organization has some degree of counseling training as well. So we can do it. And there are certain people we can put them in touch with who can help with these things. But as I say, the counseling industry has some responsibility in the other side of this. So we come at it with a big degree of skepticism as well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand. Now, Sean, if people want to just kind of do research on your organization, what's the best way to look FASO?
Yeah, if they go to our falsely accused support organization in Google, in your chosen search engine, put that in there and you'll see it, the big red sign. And on the Twitter, or X rather, if you go to FASO.org, FASOORG, come and be a follower and get the news on there.
All right, Sean, thank you so much for being on the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for today. I am your host, Romeo. Till next time, bye.